The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the program today. I am so excited. I have the host of a podcast here with me. Now, I'm not talking about my podcast, because I do have one. But I've got another host, and it's not just an everyday podcast. This is the Nerd of Godcast podcast. The host is Tony Talavera. Tony is, this is his line. I love this. He's a speaker, a singer, an actor, an artist, a puppeteer, a pastor, a writer, a runger, a gamer, and the host of Nerd of Godcast podcast, Tony Talavera. Welcome.
It is my distinct pleasure to be with the host of your podcast, you, right. Today.
Well, this is the Afternoons with Mike podcast.
I'm so glad to be here with you today, Mike. Thank you for having me.
This is so cool. You know, a funny story, Tony, and you'll appreciate this. I was in radio back when there were no podcasts.
No podcasts.
I mean, that was not even thought of back in the day. I was in radio, and then I went into television, and then I went into ministry. Okay. Now, for the next 36 years, I am in full-time ministry, and always, as you know, because you're a pastor as well,
yes,
and you do these things while you're still a pastor, as did I. But when I retired from full-time ministry and was going to be now offered this position, mm-hmm. One of my adult daughters... I only have adult daughters, by the way, but I've got three of them. One of them was talking to a friend and trying to describe to her friend what her dad was going to be doing. And they're all millennials, of course.
Okay.
And she said he's going to be operations manager at a radio station, at an AM station in Orlando. But there's also AM FMs in Gainesville and in Ocala. And... he's going to have an afternoon radio show. And the young lady, they're very smart people here. They go, radio, is that like a podcast?
Yes, it's very much like a podcast.
And very much like a podcast. And my daughter said, well, it's kind of like the OG podcast.
That's right. Lock it in and rip the knob off.
That's it.
That's right.
So, man, it's great to have you here.
Honor.
And really looking forward to hearing what your story is and how it is that you got to do what you're doing today. And I love the writer and the wronger. I love your sense of humor. It's already there.
Thank you.
It's quite evident. And I've listened to one of your shows.
Whoa, wow. I'm sorry?
No, it was wonderful. You do not do your podcast alone.
No.
You've got a cast of people that are regularly on your shows.
A whole cadre, usually about five or six of them. There's some pretty gifted and intelligent and deeply spiritual and creative young adults that I've come to know through ministry, and some that I've even come to know just through the podcast. We had a young lady that came down here to do ministry from Pennsylvania, and she's been listening to us since our first season. We're now in season six, and now she's joined the crew. She adds a lot. She's a wonderful, wonderful thinker and creative type. So we just love the community that we're building with this thing. It's been a lot of fun. And we love to hear people's different perspectives, different voices, different fandoms as we reach out to people across the nerd community. So it's fun. It's fun to have a kind of a round table.
Well, my brain is exploding as I'm thinking of things to ask you about, which I've been so excited about this, including the nerd name.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that most of us that are computer files, and even though I'm older, if you would have seen a picture of me, Tony, when I was in high school, you might have thought, there's the first nerd ever right there.
Patient zero.
Right there. I had the black horn rim glasses when they weren't cool.
This is the man who invented the recipient of the Wedgie Award right there.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I'm not too happy about that picture, and my kids they were not too happy about it either when they saw it. My dad was okay. Yeah, well, let's move on.
But you live to tell the tale.
But
you're a survivor.
I did indeed, and I'm grateful that I did. But you know, when you look back at your life, you've got all of these things, and why it was so hard for me to get my brain around it is because you do many of the things that by God's grace I've been able to be a part of as well. And I'm trying to imagine what your story is, and I can't wait to unpeel it. And
oh, wow.
that's what we're going to do here today. First of all, tell us how you came to know the Lord, and what part of the country did you grow up in?
Oh yeah, wow.
What's all of that?
So what? I grew up all over the country for a variety of reasons. Probably time wouldn't allow my family. We had a very colorful story. Some of it involved actively dodging law enforcement on my parents' part.
Wait a minute. You've already hooked me. What does that mean?
My father was into some shady things, and the way that he provided for our family was not exactly what you would call above the law. So
okay, so we're talking about real criminal type.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Felony type of things.
Yeah. Yeah. He spent a good chunk of my childhood away.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So we moved around quite a bit. And then as my family kind of grew on and evolved, church was not really part of our story. We didn't spend time in the Word. We didn't spend time in prayer.
It was... Church and those activities don't typically go together, do they?
No, not very compatible sometimes. But we ended up moving around. We ended up in South Carolina, in Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. And because we'd moved around so much, I never went to school for a full school year in one place. We'd moved so many different times that it was really hard for me to make friends. I always found myself on the outside looking in. You know, I always kind of found myself not really having the connections with the kids that had grown up with each other. And by the time I was a young teenager in middle school, when, of course, your body betrays you with all of the changes that you're going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm already the kid that's into video games and comic books. So that's another hit against me. I'm on the outside, and then not knowing anybody in a new school, in a new town. Just, you know, not the ideal situation. But we had a couple young guys that were really kind to me. They let me sit and eat lunch with them. And we were out on a picnic table outside at McCracken Middle School. And we were just drawing pictures and talking about karate or whatever middle school boys do. And a guy came and he sat at the table with them. And I didn't know who he was. Just he wasn't a teacher, but he was definitely an adult. And it turned out he was something called a youth pastor. I'd never heard of a youth pastor before. Didn't even realize that was a thing. And a couple of the kids that were there at the table were in his youth group. So he came to visit them and have lunch with them, mm-hmm. and just be an encouragement to them, which is fantastic.
That they let him do that.
Yeah, anymore. That's from a different planet. His name was Steve Livingston. I'll never forget him. Really nice guy. He was talking with them about an event that their youth group was going to be doing that weekend. And Steve kind of noticed me off in the corner, wallflower that I was at the picnic table, and paid attention to me and said hello, introduced himself, and actually invited me to go to that event. And let me check my calendar, Steve, which was perennially wide open. I mean, just perpetually available. So I went, and it was a Christian rock concert. It was Petra.
Oh my goodness.
Do you remember Petra?
Oh,
yeah. So it was, we went to a Petra concert in Columbia, South Carolina. And, at the end of the concert, I'd never heard Christian music that was like that before either. I just kind of thought, you know, organs, and that's, you know, maybe a tambourine or two. That was the best of the best. But
I went to see Petra, and the bass cabinet was so present that it was beating on my chest in the back row.
Rattles the air in your lungs.
Oh my word. It was amazing.
It was an experience. And I never knew that you could do something like that in a Christian, in a godly context. And at the end of the concert, the lead singer, John Schlitt, led a prayer. And I just felt really compelled to pray that prayer. Couldn't even explain why. Had no basis of comparison, no context for that experience. Mm-hmm. But I just felt like I needed what he was talking about. And I said that prayer, and they brought me to the back, and they explained to me what I just did, gave me a little Petra handbook, a New Testament. And on the way back, the youth pastor, Steve, just kind of explained to me a little bit about what happened. I still had no clue, just not a clue. But I came home, and I was a Christian, 13-year-old Christian, and it changed my life. Totally changed my story.
It's really hard to get your brain around what you just said for somebody who has not experienced that kind of a conversion, where you say it changed my life. Well, it actually did.
Yeah.
You know, there's that moment, and it might not even feel in that moment as radically different as what it's going to, mm-hmm. but it is like coming to a crossroads, and you were going one direction, and now this road is going to take you on a U-turn. And you're going the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And that's what conversion is like. And it's really cool.
And I've seen so many other people along the years that have shared about their moment when they experienced Jesus, and there's crying and tears and snot flinging and oh, just forgive me of this. And I don't know that I even had a real, like, forgive me moment. I just had a, yeah, I need you. I need what you're offering. And you're exactly right. It didn't feel different. I didn't feel different on the drive home than I did on the drive there, but I was. And it was step by step and day by day that difference became more and more apparent in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very grateful for it.
Now, discipleship, did that happen immediately?
Right away. So thankfully, I had a nice 2-hour drive back with a youth pastor who invited me, and I began to get involved with their youth group. I had to find my own way. Again, this wasn't part of my family story. And although they didn't necessarily discourage it aggressively, they did nothing to really encourage it. I had to sort of find my own way, find a ride, get to church if I wanted to go to church. And God provided every step of the way. And there's families that I still talk to, and this is 30 years ago, that were the ones that would pick me up for church on Sunday morning. They would take me to their home afterwards and feed me macaroni and cheese and Rice Krispie treats. And we would wait and then we'd go back for Sunday night service. I just couldn't get enough of it. It completely changed the dynamic of my story, and I just could not get enough of it.
You know, and that's important. That kind of discipleship is important for everybody. But for a guy like yourself that did not have parental involvement, did not have parental direction toward that way, it became much more than important. It became critical.
Critical. And it was so essential to me. I think that really defined the direction of my life, maybe more than anything, was the inspiration of the people that were there for me, that were encouragers, that kept me on task, that would call me and say, hey, are you coming to church this week? I never had a chance to really stray because there were so many people that were there to support me. Now, before someone who only hears the first part of this story throws my mother under the bus, my dear mother, she comes to church every single week now. The story for my family has changed dramatically, so I'm grateful for that.
Oh, wonderful.
Somebody will hear this and be like, oh, his mother's a sinner. She's just the worst. Just never supported him, and she's going to go to a devil's fire. No. My mom's fantastic. But God continued the story out in the life of my family as well. But
you suddenly just went into being Dana Carvey right on me right there.
That's special.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that is great to know that your mom did come around. What about your dad? Whatever happened there?
Not yet. My stepfather was the one. My dad was not really part of the picture at that time. So mm-hmm. my stepfather still hasn't. You know, y'all can pray for him. Just pray. Just reach your hand out right now towards your radio, towards your podcast listening device, and just say, we pray in Jesus' name for salvation.
That's right.
Just flick him in the heart right now, Lord.
Oh, my goodness. And I seriously pray that he does.
Yeah.
That is really wonderful.
But the first night, I remember the first night that I was ever in youth group. We didn't, the church that we were a part of met in a lunchroom of a school. So we didn't really have classrooms for youth ministry. We met in a little room above a bait and tackle shop. And I remember going up there, sitting on the floor. There was not any chairs in there. There was a table with a boombox and a couple tapes on it, and a sheet hanging from the wall that had a youth group logo on it, the Rock House. And I remember going in there and feeling so accepted and feeling so loved. It was probably the first time in my life I'd ever really had that full acceptance of this is where I belong, without even knowing the concept of a call from God, without even realizing that that was a thing. I remember walking down those stairs at the end of the night and saying, I want to do that, referring to that youth ministry position. I want to be that. I want to make people feel the way that I felt tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that experience with the youth pastor, youth leaders that loved and cared. It was that experience with the adults that would take me that would really change the direction of my life, because I adhered to my youth pastor and subsequent youth pastors. I adhered to them. I was with them all the time. I was constantly a presence at church, helping, serving, leading, doing whatever I could do, anything I could do. There was mm-hmm. no job too big, no job too small.
And all the time you're growing in your knowledge of God as well.
And kind of like Daniel in the Karate Kid, I didn't know I was doing it. A lot of times it just kind of looked like sweeping the floor and wax on, wax off. But as I went, I realized that I was learning the ins and outs of ministry and really falling in love with doing ministry and serving and helping people. I mean, it was put me in kids' church. I'll do puppets. Put me at the food area. I'll serve people. Let's go do an outreach. Let's go hand out tracts. Let's do whatever we need to do.
And you're a singer. Were you singing during this time frame of your life as well?
Yeah, at that time I fancied myself a rapper. because I don't know, because I was 13 and that was what I wanted to do. But no, I got into singing. I led worship with our youth group, and there is somewhere out there, there's a couple cassette tapes of me and my little band struggling through.
Are you a player as well as a singer?
I became a player out of necessity. Mm-hmm. I picked up drums because we needed a drummer. I picked up bass because we needed a bass player, but I wouldn't call myself a drummer. Mm-hmm. I would say I'm somebody who plays drums.
Well, but you did it and you're doing it, and that is just awesome. And, you know, this whole thing of puppets, that had to be way ahead of your time for what you were seeing at that point, right? Yeah,
I grew up loving the Muppets. You know, I grew up loving Sesame Street. You know, I raised on the streets, you know. So doing puppets and children's ministry was just kind of like, this is kind of a fun thing. It actually turned into a job later on when I was in college. I was a puppeteer at Disney World in Orlando. Got to go around and do the genie puppet and Miko from Pocahontas and the gargoyles from Hunchback. I mean, that's a whole other side story.
So when you say you're a puppeter, you're not just talking about Sunday school. You're talking about professional.
I got paid to puppet. Yeah.
Oh my
absolutely.
Word.
Yeah.
My goodness. You're a master of puppetology. I had no idea.
Yeah. I don't know if I was the puppeteer or the puppet some days, but you know what? As long as that check cleared, I was fine.
That is awesome. Oh, this is way too much fun today. If you've just tuned in, my guest is Tony Talavera. He is, among many other things, he's a follower of Jesus. And I think that's the most important bio piece that I could include. But boy, you have done a lot of fun things as well. And when we get back in a moment, I want to hear how this call continued to develop in your life, from going to being always there, involved in worship, singing, discipled, young person. But then you ended up with the ministry and doing ministry. And So that's pretty crazy. But before we take a break, I do have one other lead in question though. That's going to say you were doing all this at a time where technology was changing.
Yes.
How was all of that? How was that fitting into the picture for a guy that now is known as the nerd of Godcast?
Yeah. I remember back in the day when I first started working in youth ministry, if we wanted to put a publication together, cut and paste wasn't hitting Control C and Control V.
No.
It was cutting with scissors and pasting with paste. We went
rubber cement.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, we actually had to do it old school by hand. And the first computer we got, it was like a Windows 3.1 computer. I didn't get it until I was a senior in high school. And I think I was kind of on the cutting edge of that sort of thing, developing internet things for our youth group with my AOL 3.0.
Sure, yeah.
Plug it in and you've got mail, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, the technology has changed so much. I mean, I've got to see, especially in the context of youth ministry, going to where everything was done by hand, to everything being done on computer, to the social media invasion. It has been really mind-blowing. A great tool, great resources. At the same time, a tremendous source of discouragement. So,
it would be great if we could just ball together in one big, big sack all of the wonderful benefits that technology has brought.
Right.
And then put in another one, all of the negative stuff.
And then just drop kick and, that and one then, off the cliffs
yeah,
of glory.
Yeah, yeah. Just kick
just
that one over to
on.
The, get it out of here.
Yeah.
But those two things we have to take side by side and learn to deal with the good,
right,
and learn to properly deal with all these things that are not. And that's what we'll get to that. Don't go away. Take a break here and we'll be back. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. What a treat to have Tony Talavera as my guest today on the program. Tony does a lot of the same kind of things that a radio guy like myself will do now. And, you know, having come from a ministry background, Tony is still in the ministry. He's a pastor, and we're going to hear about that in this segment. But he's now doing these very things on this whole medium called podcasting, which I know a lot of our listeners probably have heard it before. They know that this program is a podcast, but they don't really know the ins and outs of what that whole industry is. So in our third segment, when we talk a lot about your podcast, the Nerd of Godcast, I want to drill down into that one. So friends, if you want an education on what a podcast really is all about, it's coming. Trust me, it's coming. We're going to hear about it. But first of all, first line of business, How in the world did all of this turn into now a call of God on your life?
Yeah.
In ministry?
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's ability, sometimes it's availability. For me, it was more proximity. I mean, I just stayed around ministry so much and wanted to soak up so many things and do all of the things that eventually when opportunity knocked, I was ready.
And where were you physically?
At this time, we'd moved to Orlando, Florida.
Okay.
Moved here.
So when you said Rock House, were you talking about the Rock House in Calvary?
No, it was the Rock House was there a Rock House at Calvary?
Years ago there was a Rock House, a big Rock House.
Yeah, we were the very small Rock House in South Carolina.
Okay. I just wanted to get clarity on that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't realize that we were a franchise.
Maybe they didn't either. That's good.
Somebody stole your name, Calvary. You know, it's a funny story because the youth pastor at that time actually moved to Orlando prior to me moving here. And I believe he went to work at Calvary.
Well, he might well have.
So maybe. So the whole thing, it's a twisted web, Mike. It's a twisted web.
It's all together somehow. It's all going to come together.
Put on your tinfoil hats, man. Yeah. It's a conspiracy.
So sometimes when you're hanging around something like this, there is this just rubbing off impact on your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that happens to a lot of people. And it's wonderful when God just gives you that kind of an environment that's going to really shape you for who you are.
Well, one of the things that I'm so appreciative of is that I had great leadership in my life. And that doesn't mean I had perfect leaders, because everybody has their own idiosyncrasies and flaws. But I had great leaders that saw potential and that offered opportunity. And for me, even as a young person, an unqualified young person, to be given the opportunity to get up or to speak or to serve in areas that I probably on paper shouldn't have been allowed to do, it was an amazing experience for me, mostly because that opportunity came paired with grace.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we want you to try this. Wow, I wasn't very good at that. That's okay. Let's try again. And I don't think that you can really become the person that you're supposed to be unless someone gives you a chance at bat. If somebody doesn't give you an opportunity to step up and do it, and a safe place to fail in, then you're really starting with a disadvantage. So for me,
well, it's also impossible to just like nail it on the first time when you haven't had those experiences.
I think so. So for me, that was the greatest thing was having a safe place to try, having a safe place to fail, and to know that. That ministry is a process. It's not just a production. That sometimes you have to learn, and I use the crude term, your craft. Sometimes you have to learn your particular style,
mm-hmm.
because there's people that are upfront people. They're the talky ministers. Sometimes it's the quiet behind the scenes ministers. You have to figure out how God made you and apply yourself to that.
And you know, a lot of that has going to have to do with where you are attending, the kind of mm-hmm. ministry that you're under,
sure.
what their style is, and what opportunities are there. But it sounds to me like one thing that I'm willing to bet you never had trouble with, and that was getting people to laugh. I'm betting that I can almost see you as being the guy that was always a jokester. Is that right?
That is. And you know, it wasn't always that was an advantage in my personality profile.
I would imagine.
A lot of times I got the now's not the time. You know, talking too much. I never realized that I could parlay that very thing that got me detention into something that would actually get me paid later on. So
because humor is such an icebreaker in a crowd, isn't
sure.
it?
Yeah.
Do absolutely. You see that in your when you're doing these podcasts? Now the podcasting thing, you know, the whole when your kind of podcast, my show is basically what we're doing right now, mm-hmm. then packaged together as a podcast. But you guys have a production. I mean, it feels much more like radio theater.
Yeah, it's a three ring circus for sure.
It certainly is. And so, you know, it is a great icebreaker to use humor, to use the gifting of voice and imagination, because that, again, is one of the beautiful things about good podcasts like what you do.
Thank you.
You've got the imagination factor, and it's like in the art world, that'd be like a canvas, and you've got a full range of palette of color to paint something for the imagination
right.
that they're not going to see with their eyes like you would on TV, but they're going to hear it, and they'll see it on the wall of their imagination.
Right.
And that it comes to life.
And I think that's one of the things that I love the most about what we do and how we do it is that we want to make sure that it's not just something you're listening to. It's not something that's just background noise or here we are, we're going to talk about this very boring topic for a while and kill an hour of your time. No, we want to make sure that it's not only engaging, But we try to make it interactive, too. We want to have the thing where you're driving down the road, listening to this podcast, and you're shouting back at it. That was the birth of it for us. Was we were sitting around a table at some restaurant late night after church on a Sunday, and we're having these conversations about comic books or video games or the things that we talked about and had fun talking about. And we would always kind of weave it into, or the church kid in us would always kind of bubble up to the top. And we'd say, oh, well, look at this thing that Superman did. Isn't that kind of just like what Jesus did over here? And these conversations that were just happening organically with us sitting around a table, we thought, wouldn't it be fun for somebody to sit in on this and be a part of this? And that's what we want. We want to be that group that's talking too loud at the restaurant after church on Sunday about things, but you're overhearing things and you're fighting the urge to jump in on that conversation. We want people to shout at their radio and say, or I totally get that, or I remember that, or you're absolutely wrong, whatever the thing might be. We even play games on our podcast where you can shout out answers and it's just you in your car acting a fool and yelling at your radio. But we want it to be fun. If we can break down the spectator only into a participator, that helps us to not only create an experience, but really create community.
So when you were growing in ministry and you're starting to do this, were you one of the guys that just, you had this picture about what it was that you were doing and you were confident in doing that? Would you have been that kind of guy where you could probably stand up without notes and really do what you do?
Yeah. I think so. That confidence, it's confidence, sometimes it's arrogance, sometimes it's ignorance, or sometimes it's a fun little combination of all three.
Yeah, right.
We do try to do a lot of preparation to make it look seamless, to make it look easy. It takes a lot of effort to make it look effortless, right?
It does.
And part of that is just lifestyle preparation. I mean, if you go running every day, it's not going to be a problem if somebody drops you in the middle of a marathon. And sometimes it takes a lot of stretching and a lot of, you know, carbo loading and the things that you have to do if you got to get ready quick. But we try to live a lifestyle of being storytellers. We try to live a lifestyle of communicating and talking with people and loving the culture and loving the word and the story that God is telling. So for us, it doesn't take very much. Just tap us and it'll spill out.
Wow. I'm going to get to more of that in our next segment. But going back to your ministry thing, when your life now, your ministry is a marvelous thing for everything that we've talked about so far can be done and can be executed. You can do all of these kinds of things. You're talking about singing. You've done that worship. You've done that. Even puppets. There's a place for that in obviously in churches, and a very good thing. Bringing the word. Where in here would you say that your deep appreciation for the word of God developed? Was that all along, or was there a point in time where suddenly the Bible became alive to you?
Okay, thank you for asking. That's a great question. I think that the doing of the things, everything has to be word-based for me. Puppets, music, I mean, it all kind of ties back to the word, because without that, we don't have the authority to do anything, right? I had a great youth pastor when I was a senior in high school at our church, and he was a word nerd. He was so passionate about it. He's got multiple doctorates now. I mean, he's just ridiculous. And he would show me things in the scripture that I took for granted. I think it was when he finally was showing me things that I just took for granted that I knew. And he said, but do you know? And he began challenging my assumptions on what the Bible was saying. He began challenging my preconceived notions that I had just settled on and kind of locked it in and let's move on to the next thing. And he said, no, let's go back. And he helped me discover what context was in scripture. He helped me understand, do you know that this was translated from Greek or from Hebrew? Let's look and see what that meant. And I realized, oh my goodness, this thing that I've been splashing through like a kiddie pool is actually a deep abyss in which even the strongest swimmer could drown.
And with multiple layers.
Yeah, it was very, very humbling. It was humbling. I think it was the moment that I got humbled by the word and its scale and its intentionality was the moment that I said, this is the thing. This is the main thing.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful story. And realizing that God has guided you through this whole thing of all of these things and how neat it is to find a way to bring them all together. And that's something that I believe that we just have to trust God with in our life, because there's no way with as many different things as you like to do, there's no way you could find just about any place to do all of that were it not for the fact that God had called you into his, unless it's show business, which God help us.
My goodness. That's a little dirty for me. No, but it's true. And you know, like we learned from Spider-Man, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. If you know the word, you better bring it. You know, you've got to make sure that your game is on. You got to make sure that you know what you're talking about, because someone will call you out, and you have to have the humility to be wrong sometimes, but you also have to have the integrity to be right when you need to be.
Now, what do you like best? Do you like recording things live? Do you like writing things out? Because you're a writer, and I'm not sure exactly how to ask a question about being a wronger, but we'll leave that one for another
give
moment.
Give it time. It'll come
give
out.
It time. I'm sure it will come, it'll come up in my mind. But do you like, what part of the creative process do you really thrive with?
They're all different things and with different applications. I think that there's things that you can do through the written word that are so wonderful and crafted, because you know, Shakespeare, you know, dealt with iambic pentameter and all of these things. It's there's such a rhythm to the written word. And I love that. But to me, I like talking. I'm a talker. That's where I kick back, because talking also includes listening. And I think that when you listen, when you have that curiosity about other people, it not only helps you to connect, but it also enriches you as a hearer. So to me, conversation is key.
When you were going through these years of developing your heart for God and a learn for the ministry, what one or maybe a couple of events happened in your life when you look back and you would say, man, that was a pivotal moment in my life. That was a defining moment. What comes to your mind with that?
Wow. Man, these are the hard questions dropping here on The Shepherd.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
you know, there's probably too many to really think about, but most of them are the moments when I've been humbled because I did or said something wrong. Most of them are the moments when I had to go, wow, I am more dependent upon God than I think I am.
Would it be because it hurt other people, or that you maybe misspoke?
Yeah, but why not both?
Okay.
I try not to be a hurter of other people, but that will happen sometimes.
Yeah. Somebody, I heard this years ago in our church, we were talking, and not sure who originally said it, but the thought was, if you haven't been offended by us, hang around, because you will.
Stick around.
It's not that we do it intentionally.
No.
It's just the truth of the matter is that when you're in relationship, faithful are the wounds of a friend, and I'm... At times, as much as you don't want to do it, people get hurt. You say things, it's taken the wrong way.
Yeah. Well, if you line me up next to a professional baseball player, he's struck out way more than I have, but that's because I've swung way less than he has. So if your medium is words, eventually the wrong words are going to come out, and the odds are just not stacked in my favor since I pretty much talk nonstop.
Well, there you go. And, you know, I think of that, people like those of us that use words a lot and talk a lot, we have to remember that Bible verse that says, in the abundance of words, sin is not absent. So we have to remember that. And that really, that might just temper us on certain days, you know, wherever there is an abundance of words coming out, I got to be careful, because I might stick both feet in my mouth, and that would not be a good thing.
No, yeah. I always go back to, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I'm just like, let's make sure that my heart is okay, because if it's in me, it's going to come out.
Yeah.
If I have unforgiveness in me, guess what? You're going to hear about it. It's just a matter of time. If I've got hate, if I got a prejudice, if I got whatever is in me, is going to come out. So I better make sure that my heart is tidied up, like guests are coming over.
Mm-hmm. So you like to speak, you like to be with people. You're obviously a people person.
Well, occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah, occasionally. Yeah, I can only imagine how much fun your cast will have. And I don't know whether you do that in a physical room or you're all together, not virtually, but you're all together.
It's so important to me. You know, during the whole pandemic season, we did it virtually just out of necessity, and it was miserable. I love being in a room. I love feeling the energy. I love being able to look at somebody, and we're such a tight-knit group, and all of us kind of have the characters that we play on the show. You know, we have our goofy guy over here. We have the guy that everybody sort of poo-poos on and makes fun of over here, and we have the, you know, the really encouraging and sparkly snarky girl over here. So we all kind of have these roles that we sort of play. And I think that the interpersonal back and forth being in the room, just nothing can substitute that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And, you know, there's something dynamic about the whole Christian experience that really is dependent on our relating with other people, the fellowship, the interaction, I believe is as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. And that does not happen well when you're not together.
It can happen.
It can happen.
It's harder.
It's harder. Yeah.
And it's awkward. You know, that weird Zoom pause, you know, at least one person on the conversation's not wearing trousers. It's the whole thing is just very uncomfortable. So let's just get in person where we can be unguarded and be real and, you know, not have the awkwardness of technology.
Well, I can't wait to hear it. We're almost there in our next segment. We're going to be drilling down into the Nerd of Godcast and some of the characters, and you've already mentioned a few of them, but this is really, really something that I'm looking forward to hearing all about. One final question before we take a break. It says you're a gamer.
Yeah.
And I had to find out now, are you like one of these gamers that you could enter a contest and maybe win it? I just never was that kind of.
I could absolutely enter and win any contest that you put me in as long as it's 1993.
Okay.
But these kids today, it's a whole nother level. I try to play games online and I will absolutely lose spectacularly. And then I'll hear through my headphones some 8-year-old girl from Spokane, Washington laughing at me. And my ego just can't handle that. So,
oh my goodness.
I do enjoy playing games, but I'm not nearly as proficient or prolific as I once was.
What was your top game?
Oh my goodness. The Legend of Zelda is my number one game. I'm sorry. Okay. Just Sword and a Shield. Gotta save the princess. Yeah. I still love it.
Okay.
I played The Legend of Zelda just the other day because I'm a giant nerd like that.
But. Yeah. I'm getting a picture of that that nerd ski. And when we come back, we're going to hear all about the Nerd of Godcast podcast. So stay tuned. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're on The Shepherd. This is one of those talks that I just feel like it's flying by way, 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 way too fast. So enjoyable. Tony Talavera is my guest today. Tony, if you've just tuned in, he's a speaker, singer, actor, artist, puppeteer, pastor, writer, wronger, gamer, and host of Nerd of Godcast. Now, that title right there, we've got to spend some time and talking about this thing that you do, this podcast that is not just you. It is a cast, a full cast, which is appropriate since we call it a podcast.
That's right,
and, you know,
right.
It's part of the word. Rarely is it ever a real literal part of the word. But a lot of podcasts I hear, it's like one person sitting talking on a microphone. And it's, you know, you mentioned something earlier that it is it because you can do it doesn't mean it's going to be done well.
Right.
We live in a day and age where almost anybody could have at very little investment enough gear to really make a high quality podcast.
Yeah. If you've got a smartphone in your pocket, you really have all it takes to do it, but you don't have all it takes to do it well.
And that's just it. I mean, you know, this is true too with recording, recording music. And a lot of people say, you know, there was a day that, you'd have to go to Nashville and I recorded back in that day in Nashville and without a doubt, as great big as those consoles were, the quality that we have now in a digital type of console is much, much better than what we had back then.
Oh, for sure.
Yet still, when you think about the Beatles and you think about Elvis Presley recordings done on those archaic now by today's terms,
right.
Archaic technology, they sounded fabulous, and they still do.
Well, sometimes it's the tools and sometimes it's the talent. Mm-hmm. You got the person in front of the microphone, but you also got a person on the board that knows how to mix that thing just right. So you can have all of the bells and whistles. You could spend all of the money on the gear and not know how to use it and end up in a ditch. So.
And in all those days, they had talent on both ends,
for sure.
Both sides
for sure.
of that microphone. So when you go back now, again, you're using a podcast
right.
to be the medium for your program. And,
right.
and you send this out. And first of all, tell us about the name. Why did you ever come up with the name Nerd of Godcast?
Well, nerd was a term that was used to describe me liberally as a child, as a young person growing up, because I was the kid that liked to play video games or liked to read comic books or draw pictures of Spider-Man. A lot of the other kids wanted to go out and play football, and that was fine. I'm never against football, but for me, I'd much rather play Super Mario Brothers or, you know, go on the computer or play, you know, read my books. And they would make fun of me for that. Oh, you're just a nerd. And it seemed like such a negative term. I remember being made fun of as a young teenager for being a big Batman fan. And the culture has shifted so much in that time that now those things that were very nerdy when I was a kid that were seen as the things that would make you an outlier at that time are now the things that are extremely popular. Video games, not only big industry, but it's very popular in the mainstream. The comic book movies, as we all know, are the number one grossing movies in the
all
world.
All the Marvel things.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so those things that were once sort of an isolationist idea are now the things that are mainstream. And more people are kind of getting caught up in the stories that I've really enjoyed since I was a kid. And for me, I think nerd used to be such a negative term, but so did Christian, right? You can call someone a believer in Christ in a belittling way, but I think I would rather just wrap it around me and own it a little bit. So we own the Christ, we own the nerd, and we put them both together for some sweet, sweet two-player co-op. That's kind of where we live.
So how did the idea come about to do a kind of a creative, almost like a troupe, almost like an acting troupe coming together? That's what I heard when I listened to the first one.
Well, the idea was first born out of seeing the need. I spend more time as a grown man in comic book shops than I probably should. So, you know, we'll go out to the GameStops and the comic shops. And there was in Longwood, Florida, there was a comic shop out there that shared. It was kind of a strip mall. One half of it was this big comic and collectible shop. The other half was a church. And the church was relocating. And I remember walking in there and hearing a couple of the customers talking with an employee about how the comic book shop was going to expand and take over the church's side. And the two customers said, well, let us know when you knock down the wall. We're going to go over there and burn the cross. And they had a good laugh at it. And it just broke my heart so much to think that just because you like Spider-Man or just because you like Ninja Turtles or whatever the thing that you're into is, that there's somehow kind of a default bent against faith and against, you know, Christ. And I didn't know why that was. And it just really stuck into my heart so much. And I would see a couple different examples of that as time went by, and a friend of mine reached out. He runs these conventions across the country and even in other countries where they deal specifically with anime, which is Japanese animation. Mm-hmm. And he asked me, we went to college together. We hadn't talked to each other in 20 something years. And he asked me, he said, do you know anime? I said, I'm aware of it. You know, I'm not a partaker necessarily, but I'm aware. And he said, we're doing a convention in Orlando. We want you to come be a part of it if you will, because you're a pastor. And there's this particular show called Neon Genesis Evangelion. It's giant robots fighting giant monsters in Japan, as per usual. And he said, there's a lot of spiritual symbolism in this show. And we want to know if you'll come in and give kind of a pastoral perspective on it. Okay, so he gave me the DVD box sets and I watched all of these episodes and took a lot of notes, and I came in and I did the gospel according to Neon Genesis Evangelion and walked people through the scenes in the show and all of the religious and Christian symbolism. And at the end, I kind of brought it to a conclusion where I was able to give a gospel presentation to this room, this convention room filled with anime fans. And I thought, well, they're going to lynch me on the way out of here. I got to run. And I had so many people lined up waiting to talk to me, saying, I'd never really thought about it from that perspective. That was really interesting. There were Christians in the room that said, I never knew it was okay to be a Christian in this kind of an environment. And it just sparked in my heart, this is an unreached people group. These are people out here that they have a natural inclination against Christianity, and nobody's reaching them that knows how to speak their language. Nobody's reaching them in a way that they can understand, that captures their imagination, that speaks to them in the way that they perceive and process the world around them and the things that they care about. And I thought, why not me?
Mm-hmm.
So this conversation came up with we were at a college ministry. I was leading this college ministry at my church, and I'd been part of the church for years. I was 24 years in the same church. I was the youth pastor. And I was with some of the kids that were kids that had now kind of grown up and they're young adults. And we're talking about these things, and we said, why not do this as a podcast? And we had to figure out how to do a podcast, because we knew what one was, but we didn't know how to do one. And nobody seemed to want to tell us. And so we figured it out. We made a plan and we started recording. It was four of us in the attic of the church, just doing what we could do to review movies and video games and bring it all to a point of discipleship and devotion. We never do an episode that we don't bring the word into it. And we assume this is always somebody's first time. Not everybody who listens to this is a Christian. We want to encourage believers in their faith in this realm of fandom, but we also want to change the perspective and the perception of the church from non-believers who may have stumbled into this because they just want to hear us talk about this movie or this game.
And that's a beautiful hook then to get them involved and hear the gospel then if they're doing that. You said something that intrigued me. What do you think happened with a lot of these people that would cause them to have this bent against the church or against the word?
I have so many theories about this. I think that the church is partially to blame because we, and I say the kind of corporate we've drawn a line between things of fantasy and fandom and said, well, that's just not of the Lord. I remember when I first became a Christian, finding out after the fact that all of the cartoons that I watched when I was a kid were somehow evil and against God. And I didn't know that. And maybe they were, but I had no idea that He-Man was corrupting me, or that Power Rangers or Pokemon or the different things like that were stealing kids away. And now I with a little bit of perspective, I can see, well, certainly there's things in there. But boy, when you watch a kid's imagination get captured by those things, you can definitely shut it down, but you can also maybe utilize that to say, well, what are the themes that we're seeing in this that are getting you excited? And how can we parlay that into, but look what Jesus did. Let's talk about the greater superhero. Let's talk about the greater I have the power. Let's talk about the greater victory. Because all of the stories that I loved as a kid, they're all about good versus evil and love and loss and sacrifice and redemption. And that's, I think that our hearts are programmed to see and respond to those things so well, because that's the story that God is telling. And we have this inherent urge to lean into stories like that.
You know, when I hear stories about a group of people like that, that are really not open to the gospel, but it makes me wonder where their families were, where their friends were who did know, or was there anybody? And you find out that there's a lot of people that get to be young adult age and they've never had any training at all about the Bible or about the characters of the Bible. They just don't know.
They know what they've heard from believers, and unfortunately, a lot of times it's not positive or encouraging.
Yeah,
you know, they've maybe heard a lot about theology or doctrine, but they've not really experienced love and grace. So part of that, I think, what did Jesus do? I mean, Jesus could have sat in heaven and just waggled his finger at us and said, get it right, be better. But Jesus came to where we were, and he walked in the same dust that we did and did it perfectly. So we go to where they are. We're in the comic shops. We're in the GameStops. We go to the Comic Cons. And we don't go out there to say, well, you're a sinner. Just look at the way you're dressed. Look at you. You failed God. No, we go out there and say, what are you reading? What are you watching? Let's talk about that. And by the way, Jesus loves you 3,000. That's what we want to do. We want to change their ideas that the church isn't just a place that you go to be bored, but the church is us coming to love and serve you like Jesus did.
So when you have one of these podcast episodes, what goes into the planning of it? And you've got all of these different characters. We've got about 4 minutes here.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about how you develop your podcast.
So it's almost like a sermon. What are we talking about? The theme of the day. If there's something that's coming up in culture that's a calendar-based thing, well, this big movie is coming out, and this movie is about such and such a thing. We'll take that and we'll spin it into, here's a redemptive theme. Here's a scripture. Here's a series of ideas from the Word that really unpack that in a way that edifies it. So when you go see in this movie, you're going to be thinking the entire time about resurrection or redemption or sacrifice or whatever the theme might be. And then we sort of unpack that backwards, where we'll talk a little bit about news or things that come up, share a little bit of opinion, some of our personal lives, play some games and some interactive elements. We have ongoing things to connect with our online community where people can vote on certain things, and there's brackets and fun stuff. We just want to create a community where people can check in, and it's like they're sitting at a table with their friends.
So when they listen, they're not listening to a script. They're listening to just kind of like almost a coming together, and people are talking. You've got maybe a rough outline of where you're going to go.
Yeah.
But what happens is organic.
Absolutely. It'd probably be a lot cleaner and easier to edit if it was scripted, but no, it's not. Everything is real and delightfully unfiltered.
Well, what's so fun about it is you've got all these different characters who break into voices just like what you do.
We have fun.
Yeah, and it is that. Now, where in there have you practiced this thing of breaking? I do voices. I do some voices, but you not as much as what I'm hearing you do. I mean, it's really crazy.
Oh, yeah. this is sort of my own neuroses and dysfunctions of practicing voices and doing fun things. Maybe it's a holdover from the puppet days.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's just we just have fun and we want to make it lively. And if sometimes that means you got to lapse into a character, and just, I don't know why we're doing this thing. And you just have fun. And that's what it is. We're just having conversational, trying to make each other laugh, ribbing each other a little bit on this, that, or the other, and just being part of each other's stories and each other's lives.
That's a fun community when you can do that.
Yeah.
You've got these cast members that mm-hmm. join. So are the same group, would they all be together on most of your podcasts?
Every season, it kind of shuffles the deck a little bit. We started out with me and three friends, and then as we've gone through, that cast has sort of changed a little bit. We got two of our original guys are still with us. They've been through all of the seasons, but we've had new people come in. Every time they come in, it's a different perspective, a different take, different worldview, and it's challenging and it's exciting. I really love it.
Tony Talavera is my guest. Give us the website for how they can go, first of all, to check out the characters on Nerd of Godcast.
Yeah.
And then I know you're probably on all of the podcast stations like Spotify and iTunes and Google Play and all of that, right?
Yeah, anywhere you can find a podcast, just look for Nerd of Godcast. We come out about every 2 weeks with a full episode. They're about an hour and a half each. Every single weekday, we come out with a daily devotional that's part of our crew will come out, and we have other content creators from podcasts and blogs and video streams from across the country that will contribute to that. So that's our Nerd of God Daily Devo, the Daily Nerd Devo. You can get information about that at our website. That's nerdofgodcast.com. Or you can check out our Facebook small group, which is just a place where we share memes and pray for each other and encourage each other. It's been this wonderful community. You can check that out. You just leapfrog to that by going to nogsquad.com or search for Nerd of God Squad on Facebook. Amazing how out of this show we've had people from across the country that have been there to encourage and support one another. About a year ago, one of our young men, he asked for prayer in the middle of the night. His mom was sick. The next day she passed away, unfortunately. Mm. People from this community, people in Kansas, people in California, people in Florida, that never met each other in real life, came together, sent this young man in Texas a care package with a devotional book and a card and encouragement. And this was all just kind of birthed out of people finding a podcast that they liked and that was like, wow, we relate with this. This is somewhere we belong. We're like the Fellowship of Christian Athletes for indoor kids.
That's good. And on that one, we're going to have to end the program. Tony Talavera, what a delight. We've got to have you back on the program sometime.
Absolutely.
This is way too much fun, man.
Thank you.
Maybe the next time you come, we'll get more in and maybe some examples, and maybe you can bring some of your cast members.
Oh, yeah.
You.
They'd love that.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun. God bless you, Tony. And thank you again, friends, for being with us. We'll see you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.